Analysis: Israel's perfect storm, the West Bank has been sacrificed for Trump's Gaza plan. Conversations with foreign diplomats suggest many recognize Israel's concrete steps to displace Palestinians and annex their land. But with their main priority being to keep Netanyahu moving forward with Trump's Gaza plan, they are less inclined to press him over the West Bank. By Hagar Shez. Anyone with eyes knows it's foolish to think that the annexation of the West Bank will happen through a declaration. The government's actions are making annexation a reality, and it's happening now, out in the open. My conversations with diplomats during last weekend's Munich Security Conference confirmed what I thought. Everyone, with the possible exception of Israelis, is aware of the great drama that's unfolding. A single conclusion can be drawn from several answers I received to the question of why the international community is not truly pushing back against moves that it condemns. The West Bank has been sacrificed on the altar of U.S. President Donald Trump's plan for the Gaza Strip and the changing world order. Any attempt to explain Israel's actions in the West Bank over the past 3 years will inevitably sound like a laundry list of bureaucratic details, but it's important to understand the essence of what is being done, rapidly transferring land to Israeli state control and preventing Palestinians from accessing it, withdrawing powers and withholding funds from the Palestinian Authority, thereby harming residents who rely on its salaries as a source of income, demolishing Palestinian homes and freezing the demolition of illegal settlement outposts, removing restrictions on land purchases by settlers and removing oversight on potentially fraudulent transactions. There's more. Israel is changing the control structure in the West Bank and transferring it from military to civilian authorities, placing settlers and far-right figures in key positions, funding and protecting the illegal outposts whose residents are perpetuating ethnic cleansing, dismantling Palestinian refugee camps, and repealing the 2005 disengagement from the northern West Bank. Meanwhile, the military is collectively punishing Palestinian farmers. During the war in Gaza, any remaining separation between the military and the settlers dissolved, the military prosecution increasingly disregarded and failed to prosecute soldiers for their involvement in crimes, and the police permitted violence against Palestinians to escalate at an unprecedented rate. In other words, annexation is occurring in almost every sense except the official one. This gives Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu room for denial, and serves the settlers and their representatives in the government. Conversations with diplomats show that many of them understand the situation. But since their current supreme goal is to ensure that Israel continues to advance through the phases of Trump's Gaza plan, they are less willing to pressure it over the West Bank. The Europeans believe they have less power than the Persian Gulf states, which can exert more influence on the Trump administration because it needs them to implement the president's so-called peace plan for Gaza. Notably, even those who are well aware that this plan is in no way a peace plan keep calling it that. While the Gaza war triggered threats from European officials about freezing the EU-Israel Association Agreement, the Framework for Trade and Cooperation, a diplomatic source told me that it's hard to imagine this happening in response to developments in the West Bank. Other factors that diplomats say make it difficult to prevent Israel from doing as it pleases are the proximity of an Israeli election, which is causing far-right Minister Bezalel Smotrich to accelerate annexation measures in anticipation of his possible disappearance from the political arena, and the Trump administration's lack of interest in what it considers to be details. The entire international order today is in turmoil as world leaders try to reassess the viability of entities such as NATO and the United Nations and the future of Greenland and Ukraine, while contending with tensions among Persian Gulf states over Sudan or Yemen and the future of the Iranian regime. The long-term interests of the world's countries vis-à-vis the Trump administration reduce the desire to take any action beyond issuing condemnations, and the West Bank falls by the wayside. A former senior Israeli defense official described the situation in the West Bank as a perfect storm caused by the war in Gaza, the far-right government in Israel, and Trump's presidency. He said that Smotrich, who received unprecedented control over the West Bank from Netanyahu, is introducing long-term changes that are fundamentally altering it. These include transferring the legal advisor's role from the military to the defense ministry, which dramatically changes what the state permits itself to do in the territories, the decision to renew land registration, and stripping the planning authority from the Hebron municipality, which will further reinforce the settlers' control over the city that has become a symbol of apartheid. Describing every step taken by the government and the military in the West Bank as a further step that jeopardizes the vision of two states or the Oslo Accords conceals more than it reveals. It allows us to keep talking about the threat of something that hasn't happened yet, and that once it does, it will be the end of the story. But criminals don't usually announce their crimes out loud before committing it, and if they can commit them while creating a distraction, all the better. Today, on parts of the old system that serve Israel remain, the Oslo Accords, the two-state solution, the supposedly temporary nature of the military rule. Everything else can be demolished and erased. There is an expectation in the international community that Israel's next election will create an opportunity for change in its relations with the Palestinians. Given that even those who identify as center-left view an explicit acknowledgement of the occupation as a red line, it won't be easy to turn back the clock in the West Bank.